top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Wednesday, March 6th, in the headlines. Chairman Dr. Irfan Ali says CARICOM's expanded bureau has convened discussions with Prime Minister Henry.
Local
stakeholders in Haiti and global partners on the surge in violence that is threatening lives and livelihoods.
Right on cue.
A report from the United Nations Environment Programme emphasizes that only a significant decrease in waste generation will ensure a future that is both livable and economically feasible.
Cue, top of the hour.
And a team of UN experts reported that there were reasonable grounds to believe sexual violence occurred at several locations during the October 7th attack on Israel by Hamas militants. The news is brought to you compliments Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. Details coming up next.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fenced pipe, and Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins, and bidets. PVC piping, fittings, and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
CARICOM Chairman Dr. Irfan Ali issued a statement on behalf of the community regarding the situation unfolding in Haiti, emphasizing CARICOM's dedication attention to the recent developments in the country. He highlighted the CARICOM's expanded bureau that has been in discussions with Prime Minister Henry, stakeholders within Haiti, and international partners to address the multifaceted challenges at hand, which continues to threaten lives and livelihoods of the people of Haiti.
As chairman of CARICOM, I wish to make the following statement on behalf of the community in relation to the development in Haiti. CARICOM has been singularly focused on the events unfolding in Haiti over the last few days. The expanded bureau has been meeting separately with Prime Minister Henry, the stakeholders in Haiti, and our international partners to bring resolution to this highly complex matter where persons' lives and livelihoods are at stake. The complexity requires us in these consultations to ensure that a Haitian-led and Haitian-owned solution may be achieved as soon as possible. We remain deeply engaged and will update on the outcome.
And that was CARICOM Chairman Dr. Irfan Ali. Governments, donors, multilateral institutions and partners have pledged substantial new commitments totaling nearly US $600 million to eradicate cervical cancer. The goal is to expand vaccine coverage and strengthen screening and treatment programs, potentially making cervical cancer the first cancer to be eliminated globally. These commitments were announced during the inaugural Global Cervical Cancer Elimination Forum, aimed at galvanizing both national and global efforts to end this preventable disease. Despite the existence of the effective prevention tools such as HPV vaccination and screening, cervical cancer remains a significant threat, especially in low and middle income countries. And of course, you can read more on this story on our website, that's www.q95da.com. President of the United Workers Party, Lennox Linton, alleges that over a 7-year span, 40,273 individuals obtained passports through Dominica's CBI program. Linton expressed concerns over the allocation of the $9.1 billion in CBI revenue, asserting that only 2.7 billion reached the island's treasury. He urged the Prime Minister's character to provide a clarification regarding the whereabouts of the unaccounted funds.
Based on certificate of naturalizations issued for the period 1st of July 2016 to 30th of June 2023, we got a figure of 40,273 persons who had received citizenship. 40,273. And when we multiply that by 227,572, the average revenue yield per citizen in Dominica, we come up with a figure of $9.1 billion. From that amount of money for the seven-year period, only $2.7 billion came into the treasury of Dominica from the sale of our citizenship. And from that, we knew then that $6.4 billion over the seven-year period did not come into Dominica, was unaccounted for. So we're waiting for Mr. Skerry to tell us what is the status of that money.
Linton emphasized that the European Union stressed the significance of channeling all proceeds from Dominica's CBI program into the country's treasury. He highlighted the EU's concerns and suspicions that not all funds from the program were deposited into the national treasury.
The European Union told us that it's important that all the money from the sale of citizenships come into the treasury of Dominica and is spent from the treasury. So the European Union knew well that over the period, all the monies were not coming in. They didn't tell us to what extent, but we have done the calculations and we know now the numbers.
No missing monies that are due to the people of Dominica, none.
Ladies and gentlemen, what that means, the Prime Minister is confirming that the money has been stolen. And he, the finance minister and prime minister, must know something about that stolen money and who is responsible for it.
And that was Lennox Linton, president of the United Workers Party. Former Prime Minister Edison James has addressed criticisms regarding the effectiveness of the hashtag Do Nothing Day campaign held on Monday. He clarified that the purpose of the campaign was not to evaluate its effectiveness, but to bring attention to the absence of the country's funds, a reality that is quite evident to the people of Dominica.
The campaign was to highlight the absence or the disappearance of our money. That is what it is about. Every time you hear do nothing, I would like people to reflect on do nothing. No, has to do with our money back. And we've seen it on the ground. We're feeling it. We're feeling it. When the minister, a cabinet minister, Mrs. Alfred, can tell us in the parliament that we do not have the money, a little $5 million to provide a guarantee. We do not have the money, so we can't do the work. And people are seeing it on the ground. Businesses are closing. You know, you don't have money to pay the NET people on time, to pay purpose in time. The police don't have insurance and all those things. Everybody's feeling it. If you drive along the roads from Debush to Marigot or from Pocasset to Grassroots, you see the grass on the road all around. So we do not have money, but we've generated all this amount of money. So our money has been stolen and we want our money back.
Former Prime Minister Edison James. In other news, a new report from the United Nations Environment Programme underscores the critical need for a substantial reduction in waste production to ensure a sustainable and affordable future. Titled Beyond an Age of Waste, Turning Rubbish into a Resource, the Global Waste Management Outlook 2024 provides an extensive update on global waste trends and the associated cost. According to the report, municipal solid waste generation is projected to double from 2.3 billion tons in 2023 to 3.8 billion tons by 2050. The direct cost of waste management globally has estimated at US$252 billion in 2020. However, factoring in additional costs related to pollution, health issues, and climate change, the total cost rises to US$361 billion. Without a prompt action, this annual cost could nearly double to US$640.3 billion by 2050. Igna Anderson, UNEP's executive director, highlighted the interconnectedness of waste generation with GDP growth, particularly in rapidly developing economies. She stressed the need for practical steps towards a more sustainable future and emphasize the crucial role of decision makers in both public and private sectors in moving towards zero waste. And according to a group of UN specialists, there were reasonable grounds to believe that sexual assault, including rape and gang rape, happened at many sites during the October 7 onslaught on Israel by Hamas militants. The UN Special Envoy for Sexual Violence in Conflict traveled to Israel from January 29th to February 14th with the goal of collecting, examining, and validating data on sexual assault related to incidents on October 7th.
A team of United Nations experts reported on Monday there were reasonable grounds to believe and gang rape during their October 7th attack on Israel. UN Special Envoy for Sexual Violence in Conflict, Pramila Patton, led the team.
In most of these incidents, victims were first subjected to rape and then killed, and at least two incidents relate to the rape of women's corpses.
Patton's group published a 24-page report after visiting Israel earlier this year to verify information gathered on sexual violence linked to the summation that pointed to acts such as genital mutilation and sexualized torture. But the UN team said evidence showed some of stages that militants seized to Gaza had also suffered sexual violence and voiced concern for those who remain there.
We found clear and convincing information that sexual violence, including rape, sexualized torture, cruel, inhuman and degrading treatment, has been committed against captives. And we also have reasonable grounds to believe that such violence may still be ongoing against those still held in captivity.
Here, Patton underlined the need for the war to stop.
I pause and must add that does not in any way legitimize further violence, but actually reinforces the need for an urgent ceasefire.
Her team said they also received information about sexual violence against Palestinian men and women in Israeli detention centers, during house raids and at checkpoints after October the 7th. They said they raised the allegations with the Israeli authorities, who responded saying they had received no such complaints against the Israeli Defense Forces. Patton stressed the team's mission in Israel was not investigative in nature and said a fully-fledged probe would be required to establish the overall magnitude, scope and specific attribution for the sexual violence.
That's the morning news, and here's a recap of the headlines. Chairman of CARICOM, Dr. Irfan Ali, says CARICOM's expanded bureau has convened discussions with Prime Minister Henry, stakeholders in Haiti and global partners on the surge in violence that is threatening lives and livelihoods of the Haitian people. A report from the United Nations Environment Programme emphasizes that only a significant decrease in waste generation will ensure a future that is both livable and economically feasible.
The Hour News.
And a team of UN experts reported that there were reasonable grounds to believe that sexual violence occurred at several locations during the attack on Israel by Hamas militants.
Right on cue.
The news was brought to you, compliments Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. I am Felicen Valman.
Top of the Hour News. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens.